Blog Talk Radio.
This is the first time in our history that this ceremony has been held, as you've been told, on this west front of the Capitol. Standing here, one faces a magnificent vista opening up on this city's special beauty and history. At the end of this open mall are those shrines to the giants on whose shoulders we stand. Directly in front of me, a monument to a monumental man, George Washington, father of our country. A man of humility who came to greatness reluctantly. He led America out of revolutionary victory into infant nationhood. Off to one side, the stately memorial to Thomas Jefferson, a Declaration of Independence flames with his eloquence. And then beyond the reflecting pool, the dignified columns of the Lincoln Memorial. Whoever would understand in his heart the meaning of America will find it in the life of Abraham Lincoln. Beyond those monuments to heroism, is the Potomac River, and on the far shore, the sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David. They add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small-town barber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading, My Pledge, he had written these words, America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. The crisis we're facing today does not require of us the kind of sacrifice that Martin Treptow and so many thousands of others were called upon to make. It does require, however, our best effort and our willingness to believe in ourselves and to believe in our capacity to perform great deeds, to believe that together, with God's help, we can and will resolve the problems which now confront us. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans. God bless you and thank you. Thank you very much.
Hello.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Good. How are you, Diana?
I am good. I'm so glad that you're joining us tonight. We just invite everybody to share tonight's podcast. We're so grateful to have folks like Mark and Jackie in the fight against the Common Core state standards. And tonight is going to be great because we are so very excited to really be in partnership with our New York friends. Alabama is going to join you, Mark. We have been talking amongst ourselves, and we're going to encourage everybody in Alabama to participate in the I Refuse rally.
I love it.
So we're thankful that y'all have come up with this idea. But first of all, you know what we always like to do, Mark, which is to start the show in prayer. So if you don't mind, just join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you are such a loving God. And, Lord, you gave us everything. And you said, to ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be open. You said to ask, and if it be according to thy will, it shall be done. And, Lord, we know it is your will that these children be led in the right way, be raised up in the right way, as the founding fathers wanted, Lord, Heavenly Father, in the training and admonition of the Lord, because it is the best way. And, Lord, this is a nation founded on your ways because men have tried doing it their way and they have failed. So, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. Give us words to say. Give Mark words to say. Give me the words to say. And may the listeners, Lord, be informed, be emboldened. We thank you that your word says you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. What a good God you are. So, Lord, we just dedicate the show tonight, Lord, to your goodness and mercy upon parents and their children, the families throughout this country, that you are going to make a way, Lord, to save them. We thank you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Mark. I'm always so grateful. Folks, just want to tell you a little bit about Mark. All I can really say is Mark makes himself available to help anybody and everybody. And from the beginning, when I first, you know, heard of you and Jackie's story with the twins, it has moved my heart, and I'm sure it's moved many people's heart across the country, because I think that story has really ignited a fire. And some of those people that heard it, you know, they're leading their states in the fight to get out of Common Core. And y'all have not stopped. Y'all went ahead and ended up having to homeschool your children. But y'all, you and Jackie could have stopped right there. You know, your kids were taken care of. But instead, y'all just kept on fighting. So, Mark, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you just tell us your story, if you don't mind.
Yes, certainly. Diana, listen, I always love coming on your show. You're an incredible venue for all of us. And your passion just, you know, speaks volumes. So, anytime, anywhere you need me, I'm always there for you. We're doing okay here in New York. I have to be honest with you. We're making strong moves. We are, you know, being watched by an entire country. And I don't want to go this route tonight where it's a whole rah-rah New York thing. I really would rather talk to everybody that's listening about just standing up and taking action, and because results are born of that. And so therefore, you have to be seen and you have to be heard, because our fight is against those that wish to stifle us, that wish to put a shadow upon our children. And so therefore, the only way to ignite the fire across this country and stop this horrible indoctrination, which day by day they push, we push back. They push harder, we push harder. We're in a war right now, and we're making moves, we're making dents, but you all know who we're up against. And so therefore, all the parents have got to take a look at themselves in the mirror. They need to look, and they need to stare at the reflection. And remember, the second that your child was put in your arms by the doctor, and you quietly said to yourself, I will protect you for the rest of my life, and your natural parental instinct has got to surface, and you have got to say, enough is enough. I have had enough. You will not hurt my child anymore. It has to come from deep within you. It has to be something that is already there that may have laid dormant. And even though you protect your child when they're going to cross the street or what they eat or what they watch on TV, this is a whole new ball game. This is something that is going to affect their lives forever and is going to affect generations that haven't even been born yet. And so, therefore, you have got to take a stand. And that's what we're doing. And I know that Alabama is ready to join us. Pennsylvania is ready to join us. Texas is ready to join us. I need everybody in this country to understand how serious this is and how much effect this will have on generations yet to come. And if you love this country, if you love God, and if you love your children, you will stand the way we have to stand. We have no choice. That's it, Diana. It's really what it comes down to.
Well said, Mark. And I just remember in the very beginning of this that really, if you don't mind, share with us, because, you know, a lot of states, unfortunately, like Alabama, we have not had the full-blown mess that really y'all have had. And we're fixing to see it. And my deepest wish is it's not so much that the parents wake up, but that the children are saved. But both have, you know, in order for the children to be saved, it's like you said, the parent must wake up. It cannot happen otherwise. So, which means, unfortunately, in our situation here in Alabama, it may be that they're going to see suffering the end of this year. And that just breaks my heart because I've heard y'all's story. So, Mark, if you don't mind, you know, I hate to tell them the sad stories, the hard stories, but, you know, they cannot see it because they've not endured it. Would you mind sharing a little bit of what New York has, the children have suffered that you, the parents, have seen?
100%. I definitely think that is an excellent way to go. And you know what the sad thing is? The sad thing is, Diana, just like you said, that sometimes time is the best advocate for the fight that we fight, because at first people don't understand what's happening. And when you don't understand what's happening, a fear is created. And when a fear is created, it's fear not of I'm not going to stand up, but it's fear of I don't know what this is about. And I don't know what's happening to my child. And why are they behaving this way? And what has happened to the happy child that I used to have? And so, therefore, a complete shadow of fear comes upon you. And you think to yourself as a parent, have I done wrong? Have I not done it? No, you have done everything the right way. This is not your fault. This is not your child's fault. This is nothing that you have done as a parent, and there's nothing, children that are listening, there's nothing you have done wrong. This has been thrust upon in a way that reflects the worst of evils. And what's happening, just a little background, because for those of you that don't know, Jackie and I learned about the Common Core curriculum about probably close to 2 years ago now, and it affected our son Jack to the point that he would lock himself in his room every morning. He was a happy child before they snuck this curriculum in. He would come home proud with tests, with hundreds, and Jackie would pin them up on the wall, and you know, and Jack was so proud. He had the self-esteem that was through the roof. And then it came. It came in the middle of the night, and it sucked the life out of this poor kid. And he became angry, and he became frustrated, and he became disobedient. And it was nothing that Jack was about. It was something that got slipped into his veins, into his heart. And he became so distraught with a place that he used to love. He used to love to go to school and see his friends and learn. And learning was fun, and there were projects and arts and crafts and science and history, and it all vanished on him, and he didn't understand why. And it took a toll on him to the point where eventually he had a breakdown in the school the morning before the ELAs, which are the standardized tests, which are worthless, abusive tests that have no bearing on anything or any child or any teacher. And he had an actual breakdown in the middle of the school, and he ran out of the school, and he tried to throw himself into traffic. And I caught him before he actually made that, and I grabbed him, and I said, Jack, please. I said, please, you have to come back. And he said, please. He said, I'd rather get hit by a car than go back into that school. And that moment was my defining moment. And I said, no child ever again will ever feel this way. This boy was 8 years old. He was sweet. He was gentle. He was giving. And I never, ever want to see another child have to go through that again, ever in my life, And we have now taken both of them, thanks to your show, Diana, Mary Black from Freedom Project Education contacted Jackie, and she let Jack into the school with 2 months left into the semester, and now Jack and Ava are both thriving. They're doing science project with arts and crafts. They're doing, they're learning cursive. They're learning their multiplication tables. You know, we've spoken about this before. Everything that was stolen from them has been given back to them. But I and Jackie will never, ever stop, because there are families and there are children that are suffering, and there are families that can't, that homeschooling isn't conducive to their environment. Both parents are working. Both parents are going through, you know, what they have to go through to keep their children supported. And so sometimes it's not a viable option. But that doesn't matter to us. It's never going to matter to us. I read every single day, as you do, Diana, every single day, of mom struggling, of dad struggling, of children hurting themselves. We've had self-mutilation. We've had children that are pulling their eyebrows out. We've had children that are hurting themselves, that are writing in their arms with razor blades, "I am stupid." Okay? Do you understand the magnitude and the depth of that kind of psychological abuse, that a child will do that to themselves, that they will pin a picture, and I've seen it, on a mirror in their room that says, "I am stupid." No, you are not. You are not. This curriculum is. This indoctrination is. You are the same child that has been forced to behave in a way that is conducive to big corporations, to government, and to the evil people that implement these situations on us. And across this country, it has been evident that everybody that is involved in this movement has had enough, and we are going to fight back. And here in New York, and listen, I know how the South rolls. I know how the South rolls. You guys will not lay down, and you need to follow what every movement has a leader, and I don't want to say that we're the leader in all this, but we are right now in, you know, currently making moves to fight this as best we can. And like you said, Diana, it's about to come full force. It's about to come full force in Florida. It's already in Texas, but under a different name. You know, they're going to candy coat this any way they can. Just please, all of you that are listening tonight, do what you can, emails, Twitters, phone calls to your legislators, whatever it takes, rallies, protests, anything that you feel is going to make a difference, and it will, because that kind of visualization, that kind of mobilization will put pressure on the legislators, on the people that are implementing this. It's an election year here in New York. We are putting the most pressure possible. Every Friday, we are on the corner of Senator John Flanagan's office, who wants to write a companion bill to cement Common Core in New York State forever. And we have angry parents with signs. "I'm on the megaphone. We will not stop until this stops." And so all of you have to see, this is something that has got to take place to eliminate this. This is a disease that chooses to infect every child in this country. We led our lives. Our paths were chosen by us, for us. Our children's paths are being decided by someone other than you, the parent. Can you stand for that? Mm. Are you going to let a stranger that doesn't care about your child, that's never wiped their tears, that's never held them when they were sad, comforted them when they were sick, are you going to let them decide their future? I don't think you are, Alabama. I don't think you are, Texas, New York. We know that, Diana, and that's why we have got to stand. And that's it. There's nothing else to it.
Well, I am just so very grateful, because it is a great idea. And, you know, I love the video, Mark. I saw that video with one parent after another. Very passionate, powerful video. And, you know, and it's factual. You know, I just I think the problem with some of these business people, and here in Alabama, they're using our business council, right, to be the promoters. I mean, they've got more power than our legislators. But in truth, they are parents. They are grandparents. Our job is to do what you're doing, which is to show them the truth, to wake them up.
That's right.
Because once
That's
right. they get it, I don't care if they're a business owner, they're not going to be bought. You know, they're
mm-hmm.
not going to be bought. Once the truth gets to them like it has gotten to us, and as you said, we're just going to grow in number because we're not going to give up. It's a matter of living or dying. I mean, parents cannot live with their child being abused. And that's what this is. It's watching a child being abused, and you're putting that child in that place to be abused. I mean, and with your own taxpayer money, with your own hard-earned money. The government is using.
That's
you know?
Exactly right. That's exactly right. What
we can't we cannot stand for that.
What's happening on the front lines there in Alabama? Has the entire state woken up to this? Is it still a learning process? What's happening there?
Well, there was a poll taken, and the majority of Alabamians are against Common Core and want it out. But unfortunately, there are certain key people in Alabama that have put it upon themselves not to let a bill be voted on. I mean, we have got legislators that's been bought, sold, stuffed, you name it. And we had a bill that passed out of committee and is ready to be voted on. But this man, Del Marsh, our Speaker Pro Tem in the Senate, will not let that bill be voted on. So that's where we're at in Alabama.
So he's keeping it on the floor. He's not letting it get out.
He's going to let it die. He said, not this year because there's too much passion into this. They'll filibuster and the legislature, our time will be over and we would not have had time to work on budgets and other important things, as if this is not the most important issue. So I'm saying, you know, let's also go to the governor, ask for a special session. Because if this is not an emergency, I don't know what is. But I think we're going to clean house in the election. I think I see a lot of parents very angry for being ignored. And I think about the definition of insanity, right, is doing the same thing and expecting different results. Well, these people have had a chance for 3 years to get rid of this stuff.
That's right.
I think that we know the reason why any legislator will back this. I think it's about greed. I think it's about corporate America with their hands, you know, with their hands in the legislators' pockets. I don't see any sane human being that ran for an office to protect people and have now decided to go after children. I don't see any other reason for the way they act, the way the things that they want to be part of, when they see what has happened to actual children. There's no way that as a human being that you can't be led by something else that will steal you from the idea of hurting future generations. So you know what this is about. You know this is about the almighty dollar. That's what the sadness mm-hmm. of this country has become. And what we have done on March 29th is we have the I Refuse rally. And I have to tell you, Diana, it started as an idea. I came up with this idea, and it turned, and I brought a team together of the best warriors that I could possibly find, Yvonne Gasparino, Mary Calamia, and so forth. And we have put together something that is going to be a monumental statement within this movement, to the point that there are people flying in from all over the country. We have speakers flying in from all over the country. This is a rally. This is not an outdoor forum. There's not going to be any education because the people that are coming are quite versed on all the Common Core, you know, logistics. This is to have parents come and stand for their children and to be ignited, to continue this fight, continue this passion. We have, I mean, you know, speculation numbers-wise, it's going to be ridiculous. We have hotels booked, okay, for 15 miles surrounding the venue. It's absolutely crazy, and I'm so happy that this entire state of New York has come together the way they have, and they're coming down from 8-9 hours away from up north, the borders of Canada. These people are packing their children and their families into Dodge caravans, and they're driving down to do this rally. okay? Oh. And this is it. This is a stand. This is it. This is a defining moment. Right now, we're worried about the standardized testing. We know the Common Core curriculum is always looming, but the standardized testing right now that begins on April 1st, you need to refuse this. All of you, everybody, you need to say no. My child will not be part of an educational experiment. My child will not be bullied by bureaucrats and billionaires. It's not going to happen. These tests are abusive. They are absolutely, I mean, it's to the point where we had a 70% failure rate last year in New York State, and it was set up that way, you know that, so that they can say to themselves, well, look how many children failed these tests. Now we have to go with the Common Core curriculum. It will prepare them for the next set. No, no, no. You stand there, you take your child's picture, you look at it, and you say, I will not let you ever, ever be hurt by any of these people. And you go and refuse those tests. You put your letters in. You go right to your principals, to the Board of Ed, wherever you have to go, and say, I refuse to let my child be part of this. And that's it, and that's what we're doing here. And we're doing it every day, and we're never going to stop. And that's it, Diana. That's exactly what everybody has to do. We have 46 states that need to get on board with this. And I don't care if it's just, you know, a few states to get rid of this. Of course, I mean, I care because of the children. I need this to be nationwide. I want this to be every state repealing this ridiculous curriculum and these ridiculously mind-suffocating tests. It has to be a joint effort from every state in this country. That's how change is made. When a nation stands up against a government that chooses to hurt the future of our world, we will be long gone when these children change this world, but we need to give them the ability to put their footprints on this earth, to bestow their gifts upon the soil that we have protected, fought for, and have been proud for years upon years and upon years. It's our right. They can't steal this from us, but they try every day so hard. They do everything they can, and every day something new surfaces and a new bill comes up against this and new legislation to oppose our fight. Why? Why? Because of greed. That's it. It's based on greed, and God is not good with greed. We know that. He is not good with greed, and he will, in the long run, he will protect us. And it seems like there are days that we lose a little ground to battle, and then there are days that we pick up ground. But he's watching over us, and he knows he's not going to let these children suffer. He's never going to let these children suffer. This is his creation. This is his, you know, the manifestation of every great thing God has ever done, and he's not going to let it happen. So if any parent out there feels at any point that this is a losing cause, that the daily basis, is the grind is too much, or there are days when you're sitting and crying in your room, just remember, you have your voice and you have God, and that's what you have. And those two things will get us through this. That's how I feel.
Well, I agree with you completely. Driving home yesterday, I was just talking about that because we had, you know, here we go again in our state house. But, you know, it's like you said, Mark, you cannot stop. You cannot stop because the children are what's important. It's not my personal pity party. That does not matter. It's these children that matters. And so we keep fighting. And I tell you, in spite of all these things, to hear, ooh, here's, you know, the I Refuse rally, and then getting the states to go along with that, that sounds so powerful. That's like a movement from God. So, you know,
right,
I'm just really
right.
excited. And I spoke to somebody today from Oklahoma, and she just loved it. Miss Linda Murphy, she fought outcome-based education the last time, and they won. And she was talking about that. You know, she loves the idea because anything we can do, and certainly this is one of those things we need to do. And she said in her state, I think there was one or two districts that they knew was going to opt out big time. And so they're taking those two districts out of their loop. But then, of course, when they take those out of their loop, what does that do? It messes up their data. So already,
right.
You know, there's victory there. And because, like you said, people are standing up and saying, no, I refuse. And so that's what we have to do. Alabama's going to join you, and I, you know, I'm going to look at all the Stop Common Core pages all across, and I'm going to post tonight's show. And I believe that, yes, it's going to be every state that's under this bondage is going to have families that's doing the same thing. They're going to opt out. They're going to refuse to put that child through because it is abuse. I love what Dr. I can't remember his name now. Anyway, Mary Calamia has pointed out so many things to us, so many facts. And there's other mental health therapists. You know, they see it. And I'm so proud of seeing Mary Calamia, her postings. You know, it's just wonderful to see this woman fighting because she knows. She knows, and she's trying to warn the rest of us. And so, you know, I like to pass it along. And, of course, I like to pass along what you're passing on. But tell us a little bit about, do y'all have a certain form that y'all are having people fill out, or are they just pretty much writing in a letter regarding
the
refuse?
Well, the template form for the refusal letter, anyone that's listening, you can go to www.stopcccssinnystate, and you will see the actual variations of the refusal letter, and just you have to get it in. You have to get in, and I don't want anyone to be bullied by what school administrators will tell you. They will tell you different things. Your child will not advance to the next grade, that it's going to affect their permanent record, whatever tactics they use. You as a parent are not going to lose control over your child. And these are all scare tactics. You have the right to refuse these tests. And that's the point of all this is. You have to refuse these tests because when you cut off these tests, you cut off the data that fuels Common Core, the curriculum, okay? And so when you starve the beast dies. And that's why they put these tests out there. These tests are information bases to see where the curriculum is going to be driven next. So if you refuse these tests, they lose their data. And that's what the point is. So we have to refuse them, Diana. We have to keep children out of school for these tests.
I did see where there was a Missouri mom who had a disabled child, and she could have kept child out of school for like the 12 days, but she didn't want to. She wanted that child to be able to go somewhere else during that time and, you know, be allowed to do something else while the testing was going on, and they would not allow that, so she sued, and she pretty much got what she wanted, which is her child was allowed to do something else and was not punished, and she says it is, again, just like what you said, you know, you have the right to refuse, and she was vindicated, and so her child did not have to suffer, and she, you know, it's just so wonderful to see moms like that standing up, parents like that standing up, and as she said, you know, she is within her rights, and she won.
That's great. I know exactly who you're talking about, and, you know, it's a lot of people, you know, like, for instance, in our district here on Long Island, Jackie and I have gone, you know, to great lengths to educate the parents in this district. And for some reason, they're not accepting what's happening to their children. We'll get calls, what's with this homework, you know, what can we do? But we put up a post on our own personal pages on a nightly basis, only because we have friends within this district, and it's ignored. It's completely ignored. And there are so many people here on Long Island whose districts are going to take charge, but there are so many other places here that the parents just, I don't want my child to feel different. I don't want my child to be ridiculed. What do you want for your child? Ask yourself that question. What do you want? Are you worried about temporary ridicule from people that are not going to make a difference in their life? Or do you care about their actual life? Which one is it? I mean, the opposition to not refusing these tests is so weak as compared to the pros. The cons have nothing to do with this at all. And we have tried. You know, Jackie and I have been done everything we can to possibly wake up these local parents, and they refuse to hear. But on Long Island in general, there is so many different communities that are aware to this, and that's what we're grateful for. We're grateful for the fact that there are moms that work all day. They come home. They cook dinner. Where do they go? They go right to a Board of Ed meeting. They stand. They speak. They oppose. You know, they're out there. We have a rally. We have a protest coming Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. What is 4 to 6 p.m.? That's family time. That's getting ready for dinner. Where are they going to be? They're going to be standing out in front of a senator's office, making noise, letting them know it's not okay to do this to our children. And I love it. I love every single one of them, Diana. You have no idea. I mean, it's what my mom would have done if this happened to me when I was younger. So I have to have complete admiration and respect for these moms, for these dads, because it's the way my parents would have fought. It's the way your parents would have fought. You know that. It's old school. For a better lack of term, it's old school. It's complete. Put your own agendas aside. Sacrifice, because sacrifice is what it is. There are people that are driving down for this rally for 8 hours. They're spending money. They don't care. That's what sacrifice is. You are going to sacrifice forever for your children. You have, the second that they were born, your life changed. That it was over. Whatever you remember from the past, it's gone. You have now have a new life. So why? Why on earth would you ever, ever minimize anything that's happening to them? You never would. You never should. And that's exactly how this entire state has taken movement and made this their own, because we are tired. I think there are so many people that are tired, Diana. It's so unfair. And you know what? On a daily basis, you still see even the bravest of warriors, they break down because this is their flesh and blood. And, you know, their children are crying, you know, and they can't always, like I said earlier, they can't always use homeschooling as an option. And what happens when homeschooling becomes indoctrinated? If you think that it's never going to happen, I pray that it doesn't. But when they see that this becomes our only line of defense, where, because I have to tell you right now, in the last month, our homeschool program has enrolled 95 new students. 95 in a month.
Wow.
What does that tell you? They're leaving public schools.
Right.
And so therefore, why would you not see what's happening? Why? Why do you choose to put something of your own in front of your children? And I only say that because these people still exist. And it's not because they're not good parents, because I'm sure that they are. But I just think that what they don't know is what they're afraid of. And I feel that they follow the status quo. And if, you know, if the Joneses are sending their kids to do the test, well, then the Smiths have to do it too, because God forbid we don't keep up with the Joneses. You know that old saying? You know? And I can't do this anymore. I can't watch this happen any longer. You know, I stay strong there, Diana. I really do. I stay as positive and strong, and you know me. I keep people going. I keep the troops moving. But there are days when I see a parent that's new, that comes and finds our groups, tears. I can see the tears through a post. You know how hard that is to see tears through a post? It's impossible. Mm-hmm. Unless you already know what we're struggling with. And I want to help them so much, and I want to give them the right information, and I don't want them to be crying in a room. We just had one of our bravest warriors today completely break down. She's been in this fight forever, and she posted today, I can't anymore. I don't know how to protect them. I don't know what to do anymore. You know what? For the love of God, please find some strength. You have to. It's their only option. That's it.
Well, you know, I thank God, you know, for the fact that we have Miss Barbara, and I'm sorry she's not on with us tonight, but she was earlier at a local school board meeting talking to the, you know, boards about they're trying to get more money for iPads, right? And we've already found an accelerated reader that the most trusted thing is full of filth, you know, accessible for little ones. So we're making a stand against the iPads because all it means is, you know, more access to this stuff. Yeah. I mean, the Department of Ed should not have opened a portal where little children have access to really pornographic material. So the bluest eye is accessible. You know, there's a big stink about the bluest eye. Well, it's in the accelerated reader. I mean, it's in their catalog. How dare these people put such stuff in the accelerated reader for kids to have access to. But anyway, that's one of the things Ms. Barbara was there. But I tell you what, Mark, I thank God personally for the show because Ms. Barbara's on. Because there's something about remembering history so that when I can sympathize with her or whoever, so, and I hear Ms. Barbara remind me the founders had to go through. You know, there was a lot of their days too. So, you know, and we saw that they made it, and it wasn't because of them. It was really the miracle hand of God, you know, because there's they could go against the most powerful country on earth at that time, which was Great Britain. I mean, they were little men compared to Great Britain. But because they bent their knees and bowed their head, look at where we're at now. So I know that God hears prayers. So that's where I go. You know, I get down on my knees and get back up, and I know that all things are possible with God. And we know it's His will. Like you said, God loves the children more than you and I do. We love them very much. So that's a very big thing for me to grasp my brain around, that, you know, my God loves these children more than I do.
That's right, because His creation needs to be carried on. He needs to know that what He has created will be carried on. The innocent souls are not going to be hurt. That's it. He knows that, and you know that. And we've seen so many miracles from prayer throughout history. Like you said, I mean, you know what? A band of ragtag revolutionary soldiers took on an entire nation and said, we will not be taxed, we will not be, you know, led by tyranny, and we will fight back. And throughout history, we've seen that 100,000 times, that those that are oppressed can win against the oppressors with the help of their spirit and with the help of God. We know that.
That's where we're at. This is why it's so important, really. You know, and I hear you, Mark, and, you know, I remember talking to Jackie, and I can remember her saying, you know, that she sought for that relationship with God because nobody else could help her. And so I'm inviting anybody that's hurting to really seek that relationship because, you know, He saved those children. He heard that prayer, and He honored that prayer. And I just dare anybody to get down on their knees and ask God to intervene in their own family. And I think it's going to be one by one, us getting on our knees, taking the time, asking God for mercy, and He will make a way. It's really such a powerful thing. It's a simple thing. It's so simple that I think a lot of people, Mark, they can't do that because it's just too simple. I mean, you know, bowing your head and asking, it's just too simple a fix. But you and I know that without it, we can't survive. So,
That's right. And you know what? It seems that society has stolen a lot of the faith that people had or once had or whatever the case may be. You know, I mean, I think that people pray. And I think unless you have a real relationship with God, an absolute, complete relationship with Him, I actually believe that, you know, your faith can be stolen. Unless your complete heart and soul is into this, it can be stolen by outside forces. But you know that's the devil. We all know that because that's what he does. He uses this earth right now as a playground. And the fact of the matter is that I believe that some people will see what you're saying right now as, well, I've gotten on my knees. Well, I've prayed. And you know, and what, well, give it time. Give it time. That's it. Give it time, because he works in the way he's going to work in. And he's never going to let you down, and he's never going to ever bring you to your knees. Go to your knees. Go to your knees and ask him so that you know that you'll never be back on your knees again. That's it. That's exactly what it's all about. It's about faith. And I believe faith is about faith, and it's an entity that we have no control over. It's an intangible force. It's just something you have to believe in. That's it. It is just a complete belief and a complete willingness to surrender yourself to the higher power that will lead your way. That is really all it comes down to. And I believe, because of everything that's happened in this world, in this country, the horrors that we see every day, you question it at times. You have to. If you don't, you're not human. You have to question at some point and say, why would all this exist? Why is this happening? Why? 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 The answer is, we have no answer. God has no control over man's free will. We know that. But what he does have control over is you, if you give yourself to him. That's it. It's real simple. And it's part of fighting Common Core. We're fighting against an incredibly daunting opponent, okay? We're a David and Goliath situation. We're a Samson in the... Right, we're Samson and the Philistines situation, okay? That's it. Rely on yourself, rely on your, on the love you have of your children, and along the way, put God in your car and keep driving. He's going to be there. Mm-hmm. If he's sitting in the back seat or in the passenger seat, be safe. You're not going to crash. That's it. Real simple.
I love it. You know, so he says, without faith, you cannot please him. And I've been here long enough to realize that it's not about me, and it's nothing I really do. I mean, I have things that I do, but the bottom line is I have to put, like you said, that trust in him. And so I have to walk in faith. And it's so funny because, you know, you're squirming and you're hurting and you're in tears and in pain. And then just at the point when you're about to break down and say, you know, I give up. You
That's
know,
right.
It's like, there is the answer. And, you know, the funny thing, Mark, is it's more magnificent than planned it. The solution that God gives is always more magnificent, you
Isn't
know,
it?
Than
Isn't
I
it?
Think even my best dream. So, you know, when you're hurting like this, you know, guys, just hang on, because I almost think that the deeper the pain, the higher the glory. You know,
Ooh, I love
what's
that.
Going to come out of that is going to be, yeah, it's going to be, I mean, that I've seen that, and it's just really awe-inspiring, and it's good to remember, because there will be times when it's dark, and it seems all dark, and I think I've shared this with you. I remember driving towards another town, and I'm going on a country road, and it's very dark, right? Cloud,
right.
Rain, and my car, well, not the best car, and, you know, really not good tires at that time. So I'm just really dreading driving through. And I pray for God to let the rain stop. There was that fear. And so I quote this scripture, you know, Lord, you've not given me a spirit of fear, all right, but of power, love, and a sound mind. But I think, oh, maybe I shouldn't be asking that, you know. How pitiful of me. I'm asking for, you know, the weather to change. How small is that? How selfish, you know. God's got other things
right,
to do.
Right, right.
Well, lo and behold, I saw a hole in the sky, and there was a ray of sunshine coming through right then.
Huh. Wow.
And it's like in an instant the rain stopped. I had to cry. Because I thought, how could the God of the universe, that's over billions of people, even take the time to listen to my small plea? But he does.
Right.
He's really a very sweet God. He's really a very good God. And I love what Anne Graham Lotz says, Billy Graham's daughter. you know, she says the same thing you said. She says, you know, God is like a gentleman. He will not force his way, you know. He wants you to make the choice. He will not force his way. And so when you put your faith and trust in him, you know, get ready for a ride. You know, it's like,
you know,
it might be up and down.
You're right. You have to open the door. He, you know, like you said, he's a gentleman. Open the door, and he'll come into your party. It's real simple. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to share something with you real quick. I went through a time in my life where I kind of lost a little bit of my faith. I had a succession of bad things happen to me, and every time something did, I got down on my knees and I asked. I said, please help me. I'm lost right now, you know. And then another bad thing happened, and I got back down and said, how come you're not listening to me? I said, please, I'm not. At the time, I had kind of, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not going to be a phony. I had kind of lost my way a little bit with God, and I didn't accept, you know, what was to be. I wanted instant gratification, but it doesn't work like that. And I realized that, and Jackie helped to teach me, you know, that it comes, you know, when you need it the most. And so therefore, you know, I couldn't understand, but everything that came from that bad time, it all worked itself out. But you can't expect it. He's not a genie. He's never going to be a genie that's going to grant your wishes. He's going to set your path, and like he has. He knows where your path is going, and there's going to be roadblocks. But your strength to get over those roadblocks proves to him your faith in him. And so, therefore, you cross those roadblocks with him, and he knows that you're there. And so, therefore, he will help you across the next roadblock, and the next one won't be so tough, and the next one won't be so tough after that. I had to learn that lesson, okay? I had to learn that lesson. There are people that were just like me or are currently just like me that at some point had lost a little bit of faith, not based not on the fact that we didn't believe or that we didn't think that he existed or that he was going to help us, but because our pain became too much for us to let it go, to let it be held by somebody else greater than us. And that's what happened to me. But I've learned my lesson. I learned my lesson big time. And everything bad that happened to me, it all worked out. And the reason it all worked out is not because I made it work out. It's because it just happened. It just happened that way. And there are lessons to be learned, and there are different trials and tribulations that we go through, but it strengthens our faith in him, and it strengthens our resolve as human beings. And that's what he wants. He wants us to be able that when he can't, and they always say that he walks every step that you take. You're the one taking the step. You're the one that's taking the step. So you have that choice. Would you like to walk with him? Would you not like to walk with him? That's your choice. At some point, I said to myself, you know what? I don't know if he's walking with me. And it turned out he was by my side the whole time. And I just didn't see it. I just didn't see it because I was too blinded by my own need to have instant relief upon my problems instead of letting it go to faith. And that's what we need to do with Common Core. That's exactly what we need to do. We know it's going to be fixed. Is there going to be a fight? There's going to be a tooth and nail fight, okay? There's going to be proverbial bloodshed, without a doubt, okay? But in the end, he's not going to let us down because, like you said earlier, it's the children. These are innocent souls that have yet to imprint anything upon this earth. They have not made choices, that have not decided, that have not, you know, been allowed to say, I'm going to change the world this way. I am going to help people this way. I will become a doctor and save people. I will become a lawyer and keep them out of, you know, prison. I will become a nurse and tend to the sick. They don't have that choice yet. We have to let them make that choice by fighting, because right now their choice is being stolen from them. And therefore, he knows. He knows because he has put us here to fight. To fight, life is not going to be a cakewalk. We know that. If it was, there would be no hardship ever, and rainbows and unicorns would be dancing around around everywhere. It's not going to happen. You have to have some self-worth and some type of strength, okay? And when he sees that strength and self-worth, he's going to put his hand over you and say, you know what, you did good, and now I got you from here on in. That's how I see it, so...
It's awesome. And, you know, we are so blessed here in the United States of America because, you know, we have reminders of that. We have reminders. And it's so sad that the people that are fueling this Common Core movement is stealing the same thing that made them great, that made them where they are at. And so, but, you know, but of course that scripture, you know, what profit does it mean to... I guess I can't even remember the scripture. What does it profit man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? You know, they've gotten to where they're at because of to America, to give them this land of possibilities, you know, land of plenty, and they have made their way in it. Nobody told them, like they're wanting to tell the young ones now, you know, to be this at a certain age. They had the freedom to choose, and they're going to take away that freedom to choose to the this next generation. So, no, we say no to that. So we agree with you, Mark, with that I Refuse rally, Alabama, and all these states, I believe, are going to partner with you. And I'm just reminded because, you know, people – remember your history. Remember, I love the Benjamin Franklin speech in 1787 at the Constitutional Convention when he said they had made small progress, reasonings with each other. And, you know, he says, you know, we are in want of political wisdom, and we've been running about in search of it. And they're saying, okay, we've looked at ancient history for models of government. You know, they've examined the different forms of those republics in different countries, Europe, all around, but found none suitable. And that's when they decided, you know, we're going to ask the one that helped us in the beginning of the contest with Great Britain. We're going to ask him for help. And they were graciously answered. So I think, you know, for those that have forgotten about the beginning of this nation, we need to remember because that is where our only hope is. I mean, it's what made this nation great, folks. You know, don't look down on the beginning of this nation. Without humble men like George Washington, Ben Franklin, that said, we have need of the Father of Lights to illuminate our understanding. My goodness, we would not be where we're at. So we are boldly asking him for help. And my goodness, I just pray that he would have mercy. We have come a long way. We have done a lot of things in straying away from the beginning of this nation. It's time to get back to where we started. And, hey, they became the great nation on earth because of that humble attitude. You know, only a God could have made such a small beginning into something truly spectacular that blesses not just the United States, but, you know, all the world. I think about, I've watched Bloomberg News, Mark, and I saw one day they were talking about what they were going to do in Europe and Asia and all these other nations. And you know what they were talking about, how they were going to make this and make that? They were going to make things for that great time of the year when Americans, out of the gratefulness of their hearts, give gifts to one another. Their being in the black depended on how well we gave to one another. It made the whole world go around. So guys, God is in the scheme of things, and I believe again in this battle he's looking at us, and he's watching. Are we humble enough to ask him for help? Me and Mark surely are.
That's right.
You know,
we're
begging for help.
let me just tell you, I'm just gonna quote this real quick. The Lord is our God and the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And as you commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands I am giving you today, repeat them again and again to your children. talk about them when you're at home and when you're away on a journey, when you're lying down and when you're getting up again. Tie them to your hands as a reminder and wear them on your forehead. Write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates, and never forget.
Never forget. Well, Mark, let me ask you, what website do you want them to go to again for the I Refuse rally?
The page is called I Refuse the Great American Opt-Out. That's what the page is called.
Okay.
And you will find every bit of information about how to opt out your child. There's just so many different, informative posts and memes and everything. And just parents, please. We all know you love your kids. Don't be afraid to keep them safe. Don't be dictated by society. Do not let the status quo rule your decision. The only decision you need to make is to keep your children away from this poison. Keep them safe. Refuse the test. I refuse to let my child be part of an educational experiment. That's it.
Well, we have a duty here, I think, as citizens of this great nation, as parents, to protect and defend the children, and I'm so grateful for our military, Mark, and I know you are too, to do what they do. And, I love what David Barton have reminded me. I heard him talking about if you could walk through Arlington Cemetery and see the many people who did not know you, but out of duty gave of their life to keep you free. Now, their sacrifices have given each of us a safe and secure country to raise our family. We need to honor their sacrifices. And in doing that, we honor our own families. We need to do our part. We, too, are like soldiers. We have a fight to fight. No, it's not always good. And, one thing about soldiers, they can't quit. I mean, they can't just leave the field. They cannot. And we can't either. We can't either. So we just keep on.
That's the beauty of the correlation between soldiers and what we do here as mom and dad warriors. Because, yeah, of course, you're fighting for your children, but you're fighting for children you don't know. Soldiers will walk through mud and blood of their own because they continue to fight for people they have never met. It is a love of country. It is a love of freedom, and it is a love of protection. It's the same way. Common Core and actually going to war, the correlation is exactly the same without, the obvious, which, when you go to actual war, you may not come back. We're going to come back from this, but we're going to come back with our children wrapped around our arms and free. And it's the same thing. We are warriors. We are, figurative warriors in a battle that no blood will be shed, but souls will be lost. And we cannot let these children lose their souls. And that's it.
Exactly. We cannot do that. We are seeing the price of that already. We've seen some children that have suffered. We've heard about them. We don't want that number to increase. Destroy the enemy that seeks to do that. And Common Core has to go. And so this is one part of the fight. It is a great part of the fight. And so we just invite everybody across the country. I'm just so excited to hear the fight that's going on. I hear Alice Linehan in Texas and what she does, Linda Murphy in Oklahoma. Just wonderful Gretchen Logue, in Missouri. Oh, Macy Trans.
Karen Lavallo in Arkansas.
It is amazing,
the
people.
These women are straight warriors.
Well, men too, like Mark Ferreras. So we are so grateful for the army that is here, fighting, doing our very best. So with that in mind, just invite everybody to go again to that website and, just love going. I visit once in a while, and I'll go to Stop Common Core New York, and I'll see what's going in there, and I'll put my 2 cents worth. But it's just spectacular.
Stop Common Core New York,
run by Yvonne and Glenn. It's where you go. It's where everybody goes to get their information. They work 24 hours a day, those two. You have no idea. They run.
I believe it.
It's like an executive corporation over there. They have like six computer screens going at one time. It's amazing. Okay? They don't stop. Those two do not stop, and they provide. Yvonne is in contact with legislators nonstop. She's working on spreadsheets and districts and counties, things that you know, we don't even conceive. But she provides the information. She's a godsend. Yvonne Gasparino and Glenn Dalgleish are two godsends, and that's all there is to it.
Yeah, I think it was last night I posted something, or the night before, and it was very late, and I saw Glenn. I think he had just posted something, so, you know, these people don't sleep, so it's amazing. But we're so grateful to have them in the fight, so to defend the children. And listeners, we hope you will do the same, you know. It takes all of us, to make the work lighter, better. So we need you to be involved. So please, please share the podcast and go to that page. Again, say that page again, Mark, if you don't mind.
It's I Refuse, the Great American Opt-Out.
And share the video. The video is powerful. It will encourage you as a parent if you're having a hard time. You know, it always feels so much better after you join in with others. You know, you're not alone. That is what the enemy wants people to think, is they're alone. No, you're not alone. There is a great tsunami movement here that I think even the Washington, D.C. officials, they're getting a little bit unnerved by this because they know it's
That's
not
right,
going to go
they
away.
Are. That's right. You know what? Listen to this, Diane. You know what this is? That's the sound of us at that door. That's what that was. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, God is good, and he is giving us help. So, folks, join in. And if you don't mind, Mark, would you mind closing us in prayer?
I certainly will. I definitely appreciate that. Lord, please hear us. Please hear our cries. Please hear every single prayer that we have ever, ever sent to you. We need you right now. We need you more than ever. And I know you watch over us, and I know you care for every single one of us, and I know you care for the children. And what we need right now is we need that ray of sunshine through the clouds. We need you to reach your hand down upon us and bless every single child and give them hope and give them freedom, because we know that your love will protect them. We know that your guidance will lead them through this storm called Common Core. And we know that you will always, always walk alongside of us with each step we take. So, Lord, please, when I ask you this, I ask you this from the most humblest depths of my heart. Look upon us, save our children, and protect them for always. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. And please tell Jackie and the children I said hello. Miss Barbara wished she could have been here tonight, but we are so grateful. And we're going to talk to you again tomorrow night. So
we are.
Thanks.
We are.
More info.
I'm going to have some new stuff for you.
Oh, great. Okay.
We're going to go do a little research and have some new stuff for you.
Well, we're excited. So the movement is up, up, up and going. So get on
That's right.
It, guys. Listen in, share the podcast.
I Refuse, the Great American Opt-Out. Get with it, folks.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. Well, listeners,
right.
Please share cityonthehill.tv, tonight's podcast, and may God bless you and shine his face upon you. Thank you for listening to City on the Hill. Good night.
Good night.